Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, 4 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley, Kramer the Crame Dog, producing the operation. Time for bang, number two. Bang! Need some energy. I love it. Not that I always do it. Usually drink a little more at night, to be honest with you. A little more energy. The guy that always brings me energy, though, is the film defensive film analyst, ArrowheadPride.com. And earlier, Pete Sweeney was in the building. ArrowheadPride.com editor-in-chief, brought his family in. Got to meet Big Pete. Big Pete, very loyal listener. But now, let's go talk to Craig Stout at BarleyHop on Twitter, beer maker and chief defensive analyst for Arrowhead Pride. Craig, happy Thanksgiving. What's up?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Bink. I'm enjoying my Thanksgiving by watching one of my guys, Jeff Gladney, cornerback from TCU, put on a show so far this afternoon.
Putting on a show. Missouri now up 17-14 over Arkansas that they should beat. Should be a bowl-eligible game, but, of course, they can't go to a bowl. Craig, you recently did something with Casual Animal Brewing. Great guys. They've been in on two guys in a brewery. You are a beer maker. I've got to ask you this before we dive into the defense, because I like some of the things you do, and that's called football and beer. Are you making anything special for the winter? Because last winter, you brought me in a Russian Imperial that you were making.
Well, I've got that Russian Imperial again. That's kind of my staple, my go-to there. I'm kind of thinking maybe I'll put together a little bit of a Doppelbock here and have some of that ready for the winter.
And you grow your own hops. Are you using your own hops for these beers?
No, not for this one. I don't have any real traditional German hops for a Doppelbock there. But, you know, some of my IPAs and stuff like that, yeah, for sure.
Craig, all right, we've been talking a lot about this defense, turning the corner, things for the Chiefs. Someone earlier texted me in, said, hey, look at the yards per game on defense rushing. They're giving up more. That's true. True statement. But the passing defense wasn't as good as it was last year. When you look at this defense, how much different do you see this defense? And you've watched every play of the Kansas City Chiefs, you chart every one. In your mind, how much better is this defense than last year's?
Oh, it's worlds better. And not only is it worlds better, it's worlds different. Steve Spagnuolo is not a traditional guy. He's mixing things up. He's aggressive. He's not going to sit on his hands and let something happen. It got to the point I had watched so much Bob Sutton defense over the course of his five-year tenure here that I was able to start calling personnel adjustments, the coverages they were going to run, about when they would drop defensive ends into coverage, things like that. You know, the things that shouldn't be that evident to a guy like me that's just sitting at home watching the games. You know, that's the type of stuff that I was able to discern from Bob Sutton. I can't do that with Steve Spagnuolo. He's bringing all kinds of different looks. He's aggressive. He's trying to make the offense have to account for much, much more than they did under Bob Sutton. So that alone will make it a big, big, big deal in January.
And he's a defensive-minded guy. I mean, it's his pedigree. College football, pro football, he's coached a lot of defensive backs. Matter of fact, the Chiefs said he's studying defensive backs in the draft. He brings in Dave Merritt, Sam Madison, to kind of have his vision for the secondary. DVOA has the Chiefs fourth in pass defense. What has been the biggest difference, do you think, between Charvarius Ward and others? Is it having, you know, like the Honey Badger in Thornhill back there behind him at safeties? You know, that natural leader in a Honey Badger and what he does? Kind of that captain of the secondary? What's been the biggest difference between this year and last year?
Well, I definitely think that the communication is much improved, and that goes right in line with what you were saying there with Honey Badger. You know, Matthew has got those guys organized on the back end. There are very few blown coverages that occur. We've seen a few. They're just naturally going to happen throughout the course of games, you know, the course of a year. But that was one of the biggest problems last year, is that nobody seemed to know what they were doing until Eric Berry showed up back there. This year, Tyrann Mathieu being there all year long has helped those guys stay organized, stay on the same page. And then also, they're not trying to just play a single high coverage, whether that be, you know, cover one man, cover three looks. They are helping these corners out by keeping two deep safeties on a lot of these plays. It's part of the reason why they've given up a lot of run yards, because they don't have heavy boxes. But they protected these cornerbacks a little bit, allowed them to work underneath and drive on some of those short routes while still protecting them over the top from some of that deep stuff. It's just it's what should be done with this group of DBs. I think that he's done a masterful job of putting those guys in the right spot.
You know, lest we forget, kind of an indictment on this defense was when Berry did come back, he was putting guys in the position they should be in. I mean, at that time of the year, Craig, that was embarrassing for the defense not to go and have an Eric Berry do that. As you guys pointed out in the Chargers game, I mean, it was a ton of snaps where he actually directed traffic. This team doesn't need that right now. They don't need to be told what position and place to be in. To me, that's one of the biggest differences. The biggest indictment was not knowing your responsibilities last year like they do this year.
And not only that, it's not just in the secondary. Brendan Daly and Matt House have these linebackers and defensive linemen also doing the same thing. Early on in the year, you saw a lot of discussion back and forth between these guys to be under, you know, you can't underestimate the amount of time it takes to learn a new defense, implement a new defense, especially with the practice rules the way that they are in the NFL. We've seen, as the season has gone along, there's a lot less adjustment, a lot less communication that's having to happen in the front, and they've gotten better as a defense. Everybody's showing up, everybody knows what their job's supposed to be, and everybody's executing the way that they need to. By and large, you know, there's still some talent deficiencies on this front seven in the secondary, but they are really trying to go out, be on the same page, and execute to the best of their ability. Honestly, that's what you can ask for as a coaching staff.
Do you think that Tyrann Mathieu had made the comments when he joined Fesco in the morning, as far as, you know, he and Frank Clark kind of feeding off each other, you know, seeing success of one and you want to raise your game? I like that when players have the mentality of competition within each other. Have you seen that with the Honey Badger and Frank Clark? When one plays well, the other one steps up? Because I feel that Frank Clark, or that the Honey Badger's been looking, you know, for that guy to step up and be nasty.
Yeah, that's definitely been the case. And I think that Frank maybe wanted to be that in the early season there, but just wasn't able to. His body wasn't letting him do that. Since he's come back from that neck injury, those two have definitely been feeding off of each other. Those two have definitely been kind of playing with this increased intensity. If anybody has not heard Frank Clark's comments this week about he's healthy, and so you're going to get some real football out of Frank Clark, that's scary, because what we've seen, Frank Clark has been very good over the past 2 weeks. Frank Clark is, if he has another level in him, we're going to see a game wrecker up front. We know what Honey Badger can be on the back end, particularly with organization, robbing routes, as a rat of the sticks. That's exactly how he needs to be used. If they can get Frank going as well up front, that's just going to cascade and ripple through this entire defense with those two feeding off of each other.
And we've said this too, and I'll play the Frank Clark comments when you're not on the air, but you're right. I mean, I played him earlier. Frank Clark was being, he's being assertive. And, you know, he's saying he thinks he could be the best, which I think he can be too. The D-Ford decision, everything else, I still think Frank Clark is better than D-Ford. I don't know if I'm crazy or not. What do you think?
I do. Frank Clark is a three-down player. D-Ford, I know, is a little banged up right now. D-Ford has more pressure sacks than Frank Clark does, but he's also only playing about 40% of the snaps for San Francisco. So he's not out there on the field every single down. They take him off the field when they know that there's a run coming because, you know, we all saw it. Dee Ford was not a great run defender. He was a very good pass rusher. Frank Clark doesn't need to come off the field in those situations because he's an excellent run defender. He affects the passing game as well. That makes him more valuable to teams. It, when you look at the guys that get paid at that position long-term, big money, and demand, you know, big trades like they did with Frank Clark, it's those three-down guys that can do everything. Teams want return on their investment on first, second, and third down.
Talking to Craig Stout, defensive film analyst, arrowheadpride.com, at Barley Hop on Twitter. We've been talking a lot this week about Derek Carr and just how he hasn't played well at Arrowhead. Not only that, how he's not played well under 40 degrees. Even his former coach, Jack Del Rio, you know, talking about him here at Arrowhead, which he snapped back and said this is a team game. You know, it wasn't just me that does this against Arrowhead. What do you think the Chiefs do to Derek Carr at Arrowhead that causes him to throw for 100 yards less per game than he does everywhere else?
Derek Carr just gets really rattled. When Derek Carr is comfortable in his own environment, kind of gets to dictate the way that things go a little bit, you see him a lot more comfortable. And he can be a little bit dangerous when he is comfortable like that. When he comes to Arrowhead, it's typically into the season, so it's a little colder. And it's typically a loud environment. And so he's not as comfortable calling things from the snap. And maybe they're a little banged up front, or, you know, the playoff race is slipping away. Derek Carr is rarely comfortable in Arrowhead for a number of reasons, and that's why you see it. He makes mistakes. He doesn't rise to the occasion hardly ever in his career. He just kind of crumples under the pressure. That's what you see when he comes into Arrowhead. That's probably, and I know I'm calling my shot a little bit here, that's probably what you're going to see this weekend when he comes in here again, because it's going to be cold. It's going to be loud. And, you know, he's going to have Frank Clark in his lap most of the day.
Well, that's good news. Alex Okafor looks to be coming back. Tano Passanio, Frank Clark had to carry a lot of that load in Mexico City despite the altitude, 7,500 feet. And I think that's impressive that they stood up and played most of the time. I think Okafor makes a big difference. It sucks because Ogbah's not there. I thought Ogbah really helped the Chiefs set the edge. Do you think you feel good about the defensive ends right now, setting that edge, forcing them to the inside, where Saunders has been stepping up and naughty?
Yeah, I do. Especially, MVP Mike Pennell.
Oh, yeah.
In the center of the defense as well, yeah. No, I do. They needed to get Okafor back. Tano Passanio has had a fantastic season, and he's grown by leaps and bounds, but he still has some deficiencies against the run. This is going to be a run-heavy attack from the Oakland Raiders. They're going to want to put the ball in Josh Jacobs' hands. That's, you know, you want Tano coming on the field as a third-down pass rusher. That's when he's been at his most effective this year. Not that he hasn't made plays against the run, but that's when he's been at his most effective. You want Okafor and Clark out there setting the edge and being able to rotate out there early. I still think that Chris Jones might see some time at defensive end just rotationally there just to get a fourth guy there because, like you said, Ogbah is not around to do so. I would like to see a heavy interior on early downs, kick Chris Jones inside, bring Tano Passanio in, and just tee off with Okafor, Passanio, Jones, and Clark on those later downs. That's a really scary rush.
Craig Stout, one of the best defensive film analysts in the business, arrowheadpride.com. Final thing for you, Craig. I'm a big fan of coffee beer. Not a fan of coffee, but coffee beer. Hence, I like Schlafly Coffee Stout. I like Mother's Winter Grind out of Springfield. You make beer as good as you do defensive analyst work for Arrowhead Pride. You're great at both of them. I expect a coffee stout from you around the draft time like you gave me beer last year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Okay.
I can absolutely do that from you. I got a local roaster for coffee down here, too. I will give you something special.
Craig Stout's one of the best in the business. At Barley Hop on Twitter. And hope you had a great Thanksgiving, you and your family. Take good care, Craig. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later, Bink.
There you go. Craig Stout always joins me at night, joins me during the day. Join me wherever I am because I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. It's what I do. Whit Merrifield, man.
Can't get enough
just
of you,
move me around. Just move me around.
Can't get enough of you.
He brings up Frank Clark in his comments. Played him earlier. I think we're seeing a different Frank Clark right now, and I love to see it. The Chiefs need to see it, too. Talk about Frank Clark next.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, The Drive with Kramer the Cream Dog producing the operation. Follow him on Twitter, at Kramer Talks. He's trying to build followers. He's liking his own stuff with the station's account and everything else.
Yeah, I'm not the only one who does that.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
I don't do it.
You got to promote yourself, man.
This is true, man. It's true. That's what this industry is. Frank Clark said some great things on Wednesday. I mean, he's just spitting fire, man. And it's not just one person said. Several did. Said, man, you got to listen to Frank Clark. Spitting fire. I did. I even sat around on Wednesday instead of drinking beer when I was done with the show. Listen to Frank Clark again to fire me up. Punch a wall. You know that. Frank Clark gets me to want to punch a wall. I like the guy. You're Craig Stout. He'd take Frank Clark over to Ford. So would I. Not just saying it because that's what they did, because I actually thought that. I thought it then. I think it now.
I think that now, too. This is probably one of the best situations the Chiefs did was to get Frank Clark.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I like it, and I understand. But D4 didn't play last week. Again, it's about consistency, being on the field. I know Frank Clark's missed some time. I know that. He had a pinched nerve, but he's toughing his way through it. This is Frank Clark spitting fire to the media in the locker room. By the way, I give him credit. He always talks. No matter what, kind of reminds me of Hosmer with the Royals. This guy always talks, and I like that.
My health got better. My health is getting better. And like I said, it's a whole different type of football that I play when my health is at where it needs to be. Like I said, you know, when your neck is affecting you, you know, it's nerves, man. It's only so much I can do when it's nerves affecting you. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you eliminate stuff like that, then it comes down to just the ability. And, you know, when you put my ability against any offensive tackle in the league, you know, I choose myself over the offensive tackle. So at the end of the day, I trust my D-line. I trust my D-line versus the O-line any day. And that's what the game is going to be about. We know what they're about. We know how they're going to come in here. They're going to try to run the ball down our throats. They did last time we played them. Even though it resulted in us with a win, that running back here, pretty good kid as a rookie. I feel like we're going to get the job done up front. That's how we're going to win this game.
I like it, man. He was talking junk back to Rivers. Grab the bull, get the horns. That's what football's about. Football's about being nasty. Football's about having a disposition. Football's about being arrogant. Football's about believing you're better than the person across from you. And when you don't, that's when you get beat. If you don't go in with the mindset that you're better than whoever's on the side, and I don't care if they've been in the Pro Bowl 5 straight years, you think you're better. You're playing the same league that they are. You're playing in the NFL, one of the chosen few to make it to that next level. Say you're the best. Feel that you're the best. Guarantee you, the best in this game have always thought they're the best. You think any minute Tom Brady doesn't think he's the best? And he's not right now. He's clearly not. But you know what? He thinks he is, and that's what he should think.
That's how your confidence is built up, by thinking that.
Belichick goes into any game thinking he'll out-scheme you and out-coach you because he believes in it. Aaron Rodgers thinks he can beat you. Give him the ball at the end of the game, thinks he can beat you. Now he's struggling at times this year, and they've got their ass kicked on the West Coast both times they've been out there, but he still has that mentality that I can win, that I can beat you. By the way, TCU is playing West Virginia. Garrett Daigie's the quarterback, or Jarrett Daigie, of West Virginia. This guy was third string. They kind of wanted to hold him out this year. It's 10-10, TCU, West Virginia. This guy's a different quarterback. Ask Kansas State about this guy. I love rivalry games. Missouri up 17-14, 13-17 left in the fourth quarter. And they're playing this game in Little Rock, not Fayetteville. This is the so-called SEC rivalry game. I always considered Georgia that rival for Missouri, because it wasn't until they beat Georgia back in 13 that spawned Gary Pinkel and crew to go to two straight SEC title. It's coming of age when you beat the dogs in Georgia. Here's some more of Frank Clark talking about being the best defensive end. I mean, this guy was spitting straight fire in the locker room on Wednesday.
Nah, I kind of put everything together. I've been said, you know, I'm hurt. I was hurt in the beginning of the season to start. Was a lot going on, you know, that was slowing me down, that was enabling me to be myself. Type of player I am, I like to play wild, you know, I like to play with aggression. I play with a lot of flash, I like to play with a lot of aggression, you know, and the style of my play. You know, I play, everything comes with confidence with me and how it starts, you know. I feel like I'm the best player in the field when I'm on the field, and, you know, if I continue to play like that, you know, I feel like I got a lot of things to prove, I feel, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm one of the best defensive ends in the league, and I feel like I want to be the best at, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, when my day comes. So at the end of the day, man, a lot of teams, they got to, you know, they got to prepare. I know the preparations and the game plan and stuff, they've been like that all year. They got a game plan, and they got to keep it coming, because I'm coming, like I've been saying. So he got to come with it, the Ravens got to come with it, and every other team. And I'm going to say that, I'm going to keep saying it. Like I said, my neck, nothing's not – a lot of that stuff is out in the past now. So, yeah, they're getting some football from Frank Clark right about now.
It's a football from Frank Clark right now. That's what I'm talking about. Borrow from John Gruden. Knock on wood if you're with me. We're with you, Frank. You go out there and do it. Show that nasty disposition. Be that guy. Set that edge. Make him scare. Make the opponent, the opposing offensive tackle, sit up at night and worry about him. Like Eric Fisher used to worry about James Harrison. Make him think about it. Make him sit there and think about it at night, Saturday night, Friday night, when the Raiders roll into town. Be thinking about Big Frank out there. He's turning a corner. He's mad. And Frank Clark's got a chip. And Frank Clark has a chip. He will kick your ass. That's what's so good about Frank Clark having that chip. I love it. It makes me want to punch a wall. But dude, I am fired up about this game, man. I am. But sitting around, I hate bye weeks. Great week. I know we saw some good NFL action on the weekend. Yeah, 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 blah, blah, blah. Give me the Chiefs in action Sunday. That's what I'm talking about, Kramer. Give me cold weather. Give me wind. Give me whatever you want. Give me some Mahomes. Give me some Frank Clark. Give me some Honey Badger. Give me some Tyreek Hill. Give me some Travis Kelce. Give me the damn Chiefs. By double digits in this game. I ain't playing around with this, man. I know you're a Raiders guy. Screw you, Kramer, and screw your team.
Thank you, Bink. Thank
you. You're welcome.
I hope you get to eat your words. And I'll play this back. And hey,
bring the ketchup, bring the salt, bring the pepper. Bring some of that bacon salt, too. I really like that.
Oh, very good. Bacon salt.
It goes good on words.
It does.
And I'm not going to be one of these fools in this business. So I'll eat poop if they... No, I'm not doing that. Because that's stupid. Because I'm a man of my word. I'll do what I say. But, you know, how you going to actually eat words? Come on.
No, you can't. You can't. Maybe bacon salt.
They set the fictitious. So you can't actually do it. But I'll come in and apologize to the Raiders.
No, you apologize to me first.
No. Cold day in hell, bro. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, ArrowheadPride.com, was at Arrowhead, was in the locker room. What's the feeling of the Kansas City Chiefs? What's he expect from LeSean McCoy? He talked to Big Red about it. We'll ask Pete next.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley and Kramer the Cream Dog, producing the operation. Trying to get fired up, Chiefs and Raiders. Shouldn't have to get fired up. Usually we had to talk you into this. To get you fired up. Because the Raiders just been so bad. But you know what? If they beat the Chiefs, same record. I'm fired up. Ready to punch a wall. After hearing Frank Clark, the great Pete Sweeney got us that audio. And a big thanks to Pete. Oh, speaking of Pete, he's on the line right now. I didn't mean to compliment him when he was listening. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, ArrowheadPride.com, joins us now. What's up, Pete?
Hey, good afternoon on this gloomy Friday.
Gloomy Friday, my friend. This is football weather. This is football weather. Right. This is rivalry weather against the Raiders. Pete, you live at Arrowhead Stadium, not literally, but kind of. And what's the feeling like of the Kansas City Chiefs from Andy Reid on down to the players about this rivalry? Are they saying the right things? They feel the right things.
I think they're just treating it as any other game. This to Andy Reid's style. I know there's Marty Schottenheimer always putting an emphasis on Oakland Raiders week, but it just seems like they are taking it in stride. This is just another game, and this is a very important one because you don't want the Oakland Raiders to tie them in the division. And so he's keeping everybody calm. It's a feeling, I thought, generally of quiet confidence. And I think the one thing that you heard on earlier in the week is the fact that they're not going to overlook the Raiders even after the 34-3 win by Sam Darnold and the New York Jets. That's in the past. They realize any team can win on any given Sunday. So I think it's the right attitude and approach.
Pete, Andy Reid spoke very quickly today, and I know you asked him a question about LeSean McCoy. No Damian Williams, so obviously you'd put two and two together and say this is going to be the LeSean McCoy game.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. I mean, sometimes, and you've seen this with running backs in the preseason, what the Chiefs will tell you is, oh, he's officially the starter. So for him to be all wish-washy, not really committing to LeSean McCoy necessarily as the guy, the answer to me included, we're not really sure if McCoy will get the first touch because of some of the sub-packages. You wonder how much Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson will be active in this football game. I kind of matched it up. This is kind of what you do at Arrowhead Stadium. Sometimes you wonder... With both of the press conferences this week, first there was Eric Bieniemy, then Andy Reid. My question earlier in the week was, could we see more of Darwin Thompson? And Bieniemy, for what he usually does, was pretty enthusiastic about the chances of seeing Darwin. So I wonder if this is finally the week we hashtag free Darwin and get him some touches.
I would like to see it, Pete. I would like to see that from Darwin Thompson. Are you worried at all about the way that the offense played in Mexico City? Because I'm not. I know the altitude, and I think other things were a factor. The Chargers have a good defense. Let's not lie about that. I'm not worried whatsoever. I was just glad to see the defense step up in a game.
Yeah, I don't think that this offense, especially with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill being healthy, is going to have a repeat performance and have two bad games in a row. How often have we seen Patrick Mahomes have what is considered for him a bad game? We haven't really. And so what, the 20-plus games? So for them to have two bad games in a row, I just simply don't think it's going to happen, especially when you consider some of the injuries that Oakland has dealt with when it comes to their safeties. I really think Travis Kelce is in line for a big game, and maybe even Mecole Hardman in the middle of the field. So, yeah, I take it in stride. I think it was good that the offense really didn't have the greatest game, and you won the game, and you won one game with your defense. I look back to that final part of the game where the Chiefs went punt, 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 yet you still managed to win. How long ago, like how, when's the last time we could have said that? It's been a long time. So I feel optimistic. I feel like with the break, the Chiefs will come back and they'll be ready. And that was something I asked Patrick Mahomes this week, is, you know, what have you worked on? And he pointed to his footwork. You know, as good of a player as he is, 19 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, he still had something to work on during the bye week. And I'm looking forward to see how he carries that into the game.
One thing about this team is, you know, a lot of teams getting love. Like the Raiders were getting love, except when they played the Jets. They were getting love before that game. You know, Lamar Jackson's getting a lot of run for good reason. He's a good football player, and we've heard the national media with Patrick Mahomes say this guy could be better than Patrick Mahomes. And you know what? Credit him, because now he's being compared to others. Is this guy better than Patrick Mahomes or not? He's taking it in stride, Pete. He will not say anything negative about anybody else, even the attention he's getting.
Yeah, I mean, I asked him about Lamar Jackson, too, earlier in the week, and he just was highly complimentary. This is not a player in Mahomes I'm talking about who is going to talk down on any other player. Just a lot of respect for the game. Now, in-game, he will talk smack. I think we've seen that a couple times where he flexes and yells at opposing players because he's that much of a gamer. And then when you get to the post-game press conference, it's all love. And I think that's what you want in the starting quarterback, especially nowadays. And he's just as happy to be in the mix. But I think inside, though, too, like knowing Mahomes and what he is, he's seen the media. He's watched enough sports television. You see him watching sports all the time, tweeting about things. You know he saw the talking heads early this week saying Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. And I wonder how he responds to that. Like I said, he would never say it in the media, but at the same time, I'm wondering if this output this weekend is something like 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns, like we saw a couple times last year.
Yeah, everybody's always talked about how good Patrick Mahomes is. I want to see that chip. How good could he be with a chip? Because he's already great. Could he even be even better than that? Now, as far as the mentality with Derek Carr, because I do feel that Mahomes and Carr are the best quarterbacks in this division. I don't know if the Raiders stick with Derek Carr in the future. I don't know if that's the future quarterback for him. I mean, obviously, they're not going to move away from him. But if he can't win at Arrowhead Stadium, that's a big indictment on Derek Carr. And Derek Carr was asked that question Wednesday about playing at Arrowhead Stadium and why he's not good, the things that Jack Del Rio, his former coach, was saying. And he was talking about being a team game, but he said he would wear it all himself. But he's not been good at Arrowhead Stadium. Any of that mindset at all, people talking about the fact that Derek Carr hasn't played well here?
I think it matters, but only after he doesn't have success on Sunday. Like, you come out fresh, right, every game. I think he's going to treat it as just another game. But then if he has a terrible first quarter, like he throws a pick or two picks or fumbles the football away or just is not getting the offense going, then you start thinking about it. Oh, my God, here we go again. Arrowhead Stadium, I can't win here. So that's why it's going to be important for this Sunday for the Chiefs defense to really step it up from the beginning of the game on. And I thought this was a great point. It was pointed out by ESPN that the Chiefs haven't really had their full defense since week 4. So you feel really good about Alex Okafor re-entering the lineup. You feel good about what you have in Frank Clark and Chris Jones. And if you can get to Derek Carr early, get to him, hit him, quarterback hits, sacks, I think those demons start to come back to him. And he says, okay, man, this is Arrowhead Stadium again. And they'll go from 0-5 to 0-6.
24-14, Missouri over to Arkansas right now in this game. We're talking to Pete Sweeney, ArrowheadPride.com. He's the editor-in-chief. And, Pete, here, let's talk about Frank Clark for just a second. That audio you sent me back on Wednesday when Frank Clark talked, I give him credit because he talks all the time, and he's not shy about doing it. But he's kind of accepted this role. And I've seen guys try to live up to that contract before in press at times. You had sent this back to me saying, man, this is good stuff. I went back, I played it, I went back and listened to it, took a couple cuts from it. I liked the things he was saying. That was good. And when he was sitting there saying those things, and I played it a couple times here on the show, you were standing right there. You saw the body language of Frank Clark. Do you feel that he's 100% now or as close? Nobody's 100% in the NFL. Let me rephrase that. Do you think he's feeling as good as he is? Because the confidence coming out of his mouth, tremendous.
I think the big line that he said is, I've gotten healthier as the year goes on. And then he made a point to say, usually it's different. You start off 100%, and by this time you're feeling 80, 75, somewhere around that, if you're lucky. And for him to say, no, it's been opposite for me this year, I think he's finally feeling as good as he did. And you could tell he's regained that swagger. He was a little bit meek, and it was incredible to watch, because this is not a guy who, when you put on the Seattle tape, has ever looked like that. And so he was a little bit meek, and now I think you can really tell that he's feeling himself. He's really bought in and believes, okay, now that I'm healthy, watch what I'm going to do. And that seems legitimate. Like, sometimes these guys will say certain quotes, they're told, they're prepared. But Frank usually just shoots you straight. And for him to be saying, okay, I'm good to go, I'm ready to go, watch on Sunday, like, I think that's a really good thing, and it feels genuine for sure.
No, it really does. And not only that, but you know, Honey Badger and his leadership of the secondary. And I talked to Craig Stout from ArrowheadPride.com earlier, defensive film analyst, about the Honey Badger's role. And you saw it, Pete, last year when Eric Berry was coming in there and putting guys in the right position. That was embarrassing. That was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I think this defense truly is better than last year. No doubt about it. I know they're giving up more rushing yards, but it is better. I asked Craig Stout if it's better, and he agrees that it's better. When you look at this defense, I mean, they're fourth in DVOA in the pass defense. This defense is better exponentially than last year.
Yeah, and I think the Berry thing it was huge, right? Because in his prime, and you're talking about primes now, Eric Berry, you can make a case, okay, he's a better player than Tyrann Mathieu, but you can only do so much on the sideline. That's why when he finally played late in the season, he was able to instruct the guys, get him into position. I think that's been pivotal for the Chiefs this year. Yeah, it hasn't always been great, but they've been building towards something, and Tyrann Mathieu's played a big part of that. He has talked about before how him and Anthony Hitchens and their communication, getting everybody lined up. I just don't think the Chiefs had that last year. You can blame the fact that Eric Berry might have been hurt all year. You can blame Bob Sutton for a lot of that. But there just is a different feeling of progress this year, and you're really feeling like, okay, maybe they are carrying out what they talked about all training camp, where once we play with each other enough, we're going to feel good about this defense. And if you can match that offense, you never know what can happen when you get into the AFC tournament late in the year here.
You think they've got their swag back a little bit?
I think it'll take one game where every unit performs well. And I've talked about this before. It's incredible that they've been able to get 7 wins with not everybody playing well. They can have a game on Sunday where the offense is healthy and playing well, you know, aside from Damian Williams, where the defense is now completely healthy and playing well, where Mecole Hardman doesn't make special teams mistakes. If you listen to the audio, I don't know if you played it back yet.
I did.
Something Hardman said today is he feels like he could be the greatest punt returner of all time. Okay, so let's put your money where your mouth is. Let's see all 3 units performing well at the same time, have a dominant win against Oakland, and then all of a sudden you say, wow, there's 4 games left into the playoffs. Maybe the Chiefs are a team like the Baltimore Ravens, like the New England Patriots, that could make a run for the Super Bowl.
Never like to hear the players or coaches make excuses, but we can do it here in the media. Listen, they've had a ton of injuries with Tyreek Hill being down at times, Patrick Mahomes. The offensive line was first back together for the first time since week 2. It has made a difference. And you're right, special teams is not as good as it was last year, but we have not seen a complete game from this team yet.
No, and I think that's the scary thing. It really is, because it's really hard to go 7-4 and to have as many injuries and as many mistakes as the Chiefs have made this year, and to drop a few of those really soft games, like you shouldn't have lost to Ryan Tannehill, but you're still 7-4, and for the most part can control if you can maybe make a run for a bye. I think that shows how incredibly talented the Chiefs are to have dealt with that stuff. And just it makes us wait and wonder, okay, well, what is this team going to be when it's clicking on all cylinders? Here we are, week, 13, and I don't feel like we've seen that yet. And so it'll be fun to see if that can happen this Sunday.
Final thing for you, Pete, in regards to the Kansas City Chiefs, Pro Football Focus put out their most underrated player on every team. And the guy for the Chiefs was Mecole Hardman. They talked about the fact quarterbacks have 153.6 rating when targeting him. He's been targeted 32 times by the Chiefs. Last couple of weeks, they haven't really made an emphasis to get the ball to him, and I know they're trying to work on special teams. And listen, he's got to get better. He's got to understand, don't return a punt inside the 5-yard line. He's got to understand those, but he's got the speed and elusiveness to be dangerous. I feel he's got the same speed and elusiveness to be great at wide receivers. Broke the second most amount of tackles in the league. He's got a better yards per reception by 2 yards than any other wide receiver. I think one thing this offense needs, more Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a good news, bad news from that PFF stat that you just said. The good news for Mecole is, okay, he's showing the coaching staff that they should be using him more. Now let's see if Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid can draw some stuff up for him. I know they like to get him, if you've seen in the offense, in almost like these return type of situations like they did with DeAnthony Thomas. So let's see a little more of Mecole Hardman, because when he touches the football, it seems like good things happen. The bad news will come for Sammy Watkins, because the Chiefs can walk away from that contract after this year, and if this is the most underrated player who you clearly need to touch the ball more, where are those touches going to come from? It's from the receiver that you're paying, who really just, for the most part, can't stay on the field. So I don't know what the Chiefs end up doing with Watkins after this year. As for now, they have a lot of weapons on this offense, so it's up to Andy Reid to figure out, okay, how can I be creative? How can I use everything that I have? Hardman needs to touch the ball more. I think we've seen that in the statistics. Now let's see it on the field.
You can hear Pete Sweeney at 6 o'clock every Wednesday with Kent Swanson, the Arrowhead Pride radio show. Arrowhead Pride tailgate, 2 hours before each and every Chiefs game with Kent Swanson. Then, of course, Pete and I have your call-in show immediately after every Chief. Pete, good Thanksgiving for you.
Great Thanksgiving. Took down some turkey, plenty of sides, cranberry sauce, and then I had a chocolate chip cookie afterwards.
You didn't make this, did you?
Did I make what?
The turkey? You probably bought it, didn't you? Let's be honest.
No, people cook, and then I'll consume it, and then I'll clean up a little bit. That's the extent of my day.
Mama Sweeney help you out?
Family friend, but yes, Mama Sweeney was here visiting, so she took part in it as well.
Big Pete, do a damn thing.
We just took down some beers and watched a little football yesterday with the day off. But
That's what you do with your dad. No question. The great Pete Sweeney, editor in chief, ArrowheadPride.com. Thanks for the good work out there this week, Pete, as usual.
All right, Pete. Take care, man.
There you go, Pete Sweeney, right there. Boom, got him off the phone before he could hang up. It's his little game. Hang up, have the dial tone going. Not good.
Yeah, we don't want that.
You don't want to do it between 2 and 6. You can do it at night, whatever you want. But 2 and 6, you can't do that stuff.
Nope.
You got to be cool. You got to be calm. By the way, Missouri up 24-14, 5:18 left in the fourth. And TCU and West Virginia in a good game. Somebody on the text line wants me the update, the Nebraska-Iowa game, because they're not able to watch it on TV. It's Big Ten Network. What do you don't get Big Ten Network? 24-24, 32 seconds left in the fourth. In a great rivalry game. I love this time of year is great, man. You can sit around. Maybe you don't go shopping. Maybe you do. My suggestion for guys that are drug out shopping, which I know you guys don't like to do, but you do it anyway because you like
fun.
To earn points.
Mean?
It's not fun. It sucks. But the problem is you do it because your girlfriend, your wife, whatever, and you go out and shop. My suggestion is go with them, but find that sports bar and say, hey, I'll be in here. You shop away. Here's the credit card. Boom, you go. And you sit in the bar and you watch the games. It's perfect. Everybody's happy because you're spending time. They don't really like you to be around them when they shop. Ladies don't. But if you're in the sports bar drinking beer, this is a way to kind of two birds with one stone. Am I not right?
Well, I mean, it kind of is. But for my sake, I shop too. So
I like the fact that, and of course, you know, I'm divorced now. But when I was married, I like going to Hy-Vee now. Grocery store, I'd go in the bar they have there and watch games, drink a little beer while the shopping was being done. Again, two birds with one stone. You're nice enough to go. Hey, let's go shopping. Boom. You go to the sports bar, watch the games. It's very, very simple, Kramer. You've got to learn things in life.
I'll take some notes.
No. Here's the thing with you, man. And I try to give you life advice going forward. I don't know what all the advice I've given you, but a lot of it's been pretty bad probably from the outside. Like, you should never take advice from me when it comes to love. I mean, anybody would tell you that.
Vern might.
But is that what he says?
I think.
I've given him advice.
We've talked to a few times.
But here's the thing. I told you, one, that you need to find yourself a sports bar. You moved down to Kansas City. You were in St. Joe. You went to Northwest Missouri State. We all know this. All power, all strikeout. That's you. But I told you to find a sports bar. Find a watering hole that you go into and they know your name. And they fill up your beer and you watch the games. I've told you this advice. Have you done this yet?
I actually haven't yet.
Are you going to take my advice and not send out pictures on Twitter of you and your girlfriend?
Hey,
I've warned you about doing this. Why? You did it today.
I know I did.
But you don't do that stuff, man.
Hey, that's what I do, Bink. Bink,
it's not what Twitter's for. Bink, Twitter's not for, hey, look, I'm in love. Here's my sweetie. No. You talk football on it.
That's true.
He took deer.
I do that. If you actually check out my latest tweet I just put out on Kramer Talks, follow me if you want. I posted my first mock draft. I did. About to work on my 2.0 later on this week.
And it was terrible.
It was pretty bad. It was early November. You can't really predict anything.
What do you think is the position of need for the Chiefs?
I feel like offensive line.
You can do that in the mid rounds.
But you're going to get that C minus type of player that will probably be in the league for two years.
When the Packers won a Super Bowl with Rodgers, they had one first rounder on that line, Brian Bulaga, and he's not the best lineman on that team.
Yeah, but that's also the Packers, and they actually know how to draft. I'm not saying the Chiefs can't draft. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that they might want to protect their franchise quarterback that they're probably going to be making the record deal over 200. He's going to make over $200 million.
Look at David Bakhtiari from Green Bay. Not only a great beer chugger, but he's great on the offensive line. He was a fourth-round pick. He's been an all-pro. He's been twice second-team all-pro. The dude's a stud. Fourth round. You can find diamonds in the rough.
You can find diamonds.
You can, but you got to be good. By the way, Iowa up 27-24, 1 second left in the fourth quarter. So Iowa on the road. Nebraska looking to go 5-7 this season with Scotty Frost.
You know who found diamonds in the rough? The Oakland Raiders.
Oh, with the draft picks?
Oh, with draft picks. Yeah, yeah.
No question about it. They drafted extremely well.
I love it. Mike Mayock.
Were you four when Mike Mayock was signed there?
Oh, yeah. I was. I know you were, too.
No, Mike Mayock's been my favorite draft guy. No question about it. I've said this, too. Like, he had a little bit of an edge because he watched what other GMs were doing. He knows what they did. I guarantee he had every GM's phone number in his cell phone because he would not put out his mock until the night before the draft. He knows what position. He goes to a lot of those pro days. He sees who's there. John Dorsey used to do these pre-draft meetings or whatever with the media or whatever. And I always found it interesting, something he said. When he watches pro days, it wasn't just seeing the 40 times, the bench press or whatever, the shuttle drill or cone drill, everything, three-cone drill, everything else. It's who was there watching? Was it a GM? Was it a position coach? And again, there's a lot of smoke screens where teams, you know, guys that are drafted with Chiefs will say, hey, I'd never talk to them. Because you throw a smoke screen out there because of the talking heads to throw it out there. Hey, the Chiefs really liked so-and-so. Just like Jalen Ferguson. Sack Daddy was what he was called. Starting for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Now, but he was the NCAA sack leader. And there was questions the Chiefs were looking. He had a terrible pro day. Terrible pro day. Ravens still took a chance on him. I like Jalen Ferguson. I think he's actually going to be something. By the way, Memphis beating Cincinnati 20-17. Mike Norvell, the coach of Memphis. Somebody was asking me, who would you put on your top coach list? Mike Norvell. I'd definitely go that direction as well. But I was wondering with John Gruden, is he a genius or is he crazy? Because Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, that sends some shockwaves around the NFL. What's Gruden doing? Because it didn't make sense why you do that. And they brought on those old veterans like Derek Johnson went to him last year. Everybody was old. Like he got old when he should have gotten younger because that's how you rebuild. But then he accumulated a lot of draft picks, 5 first-rounders from last year and this year. And they drafted well with Mayock because that's what people said. Oh, it's too much glamour and glitz for Vegas, man. Mike Mayock's coming to town. Mike Mayock had one of the few put your money where your mouth is jobs that we've seen in professional sports. You talk the talk. You criticize people for their draft picks. You grade what teams did. You're on TV making fun of teams or giving them praise when they make a draft pick. Then they all fall on him. So far, so good for Mayock. I'm not kidding you. I like what he's done.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job.
You've got to win in the draft that he has. With his rookie class, very good. By the way, Iowa, it's a final 27-24 over Nebraska. Boise State, by the way, is playing at Colorado State today. It snowed out there. Very cold. Boise State comes out just wearing the T-shirts, you know, manning up.
There's no way I'd be doing that. There's no way I'd be in a T-shirt. Give me that.
Show's tough, though, man.
It's true.
It's like in the mid-20s. These guys are fine.
I wonder how many people showed up. I haven't seen a picture since. Because we looked at that one with their warm-ups. There was nobody at the stadium.
Virginia Tech's ranked 24th. They fall to Virginia today, 39-30. Another rivalry game. Again, man, I like rivalry games. I do. Missouri up 10 over Arkansas, 236 back. And this should be a game to put Mizzou in a bowl game. But, of course, the NCAA screwed Mizzou over about a rogue tutor that these guys had nothing to do with it. I was glad about a couple things. I was glad Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, called it dumb and he should. Because you know what? If you're the NCAA and you got school commissioners from the SEC, which is the end-all, be-all in college football, criticizing you, you're probably doing things wrong. They don't mind doing it either. They'll do it. They'll throw stones. Of course, they had some skin game, too, because they lose some bowl game money that the University of Missouri would have had. But what, Missouri's going to lose, what, $9, $10 million from not being in a bowl game? And they missed that extra practice time that you have through the month of December when you do get in a bowl game like 42 other teams do in college football out of 130.
That's rough.
It's not exactly that job keeper when you make a bowl game anymore.
No, not
it
anymore.
Used to be. 1980, eight bowl games. Eight! Things have changed, man. Every.com's got a bowl. Kids get the swag. It's the only swag they get. Let them have it.
It's true.
But rivalry games all over tomorrow, too. Tomorrow, this is a great weekend for football.
This is a really great week.
This is a great weekend for football. And if you haven't gone to the store and stock up on your beer, you're crazy, man. This is order pizza, drink beer, sit on your couch weekend. Great games tomorrow. Weather's going to be crap. Sunday's going to, I don't know what the weather's going to do, but I assume crap. It's going to be high winds on Sunday. You know, it's football weather. Chiefs, Raiders. Great college football Saturday. What more do you want?
I'm ready for the Chiefs Raiders game. I have not been to a Chiefs game since 2004.
Do you remember which one it was?
It was the Atlanta Falcons and Chiefs, where the Atlanta Falcons, I believe, only put up 10 points to 56, I believe, was the Chiefs score. So it's been a while.
I'm glad you're going back.
About time, right?
It's about time. You were due.
I was way overdue.
You going to tailgate?
Yeah, I planned on it.
What are you going to bring for your tailgate?
I'm probably just going to bring beer. we're meeting people out there, and they're going to.
Do the people have dogs?
They'll supply the food.
Are they all Raiders fans? Are they Chiefs fans?
Chiefs fans. I'll be in the mix of the Chiefs fans.
Have you ever wanted to go to a game in Oakland?
I wanted to so bad, but I didn't have time.
Vegas is going to be the destination, man.
Yeah, we're going to a Vegas game, aren't we?
Yeah, I'd love to. I love Vegas, but here's the thing. They better prepare for a lot of fans and the opposing team going out there because that is a destination spot. I know we're opening up sports books all over the country, different states, even though Missouri and Kansas don't have it yet. Should. Got to drive to Iowa and Arkansas. They're getting all that money. I know Kansas, Missouri is about to pass. Supreme Court gave you the chance. Do it. Open it up. People like betting on sports. The teams are gravitating towards it. I think MLB ends up in Vegas soon.
Apparently a player likes to bet on it too.
Yes. Yes, that happened with an Arizona Cardinal. He went all Pete Rose. Doesn't have the name of Pete Rose, but he went all Pete Rose. And inside information, of course you have it. You have injuries. You pay attention. I think more people pay attention to shows now because of the injury report than any other time. Because it does matter what Pete reports from Arrowhead Stadium on injuries.
So true.
Dennis Franchione used to have a paper site when he was coach at Texas A&M. Which was a big no-no because you were putting injuries on this for people that subscribe to it. Tell me gamblers didn't subscribe to that. Of course they did.
Of course they did.
That's why people like football so much. They get to win some skin on it. Coming up next, The Hits.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.